Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Good morning, everybody. We had such an amazing Friday and Saturday. On Friday, we had 76 women come. Some of them were other churches. There were two other churches that were here besides our people. We also had 36 women on Saturday. Dr. Julissa was amazing. She was our speaker. And what we were striving for, Miss Mary and I, we created this whole thing through the Holy Spirit. To God be the glory for Him giving us our topic, giving us, you know, what we were supposed to talk about, what we were to pray about, and our speaker. And just to let you know, Dr. Julissa talked about our identity in Christ, the mind of Christ, the heart of the Father, strength of the Spirit, and then she did a commissioning. Because you know what? We never, ever stop sharing the love of Christ with others. And it's through our testimonies that we're able to touch others' hearts. And so one of the gifts that we gave everybody was a little lantern. And it was to remind them of the light that is within them, and that we always, through the Word, we need to remember our relationship with Him and what He redeemed us from, that we can walk forth and be good stewards of His Word and share with others. So I don't know what you might want to share. My sister here.
I didn't know we were supposed to come up here.
I didn't know either.
So I didn't even think of anything. But I'd like to thank all the ladies that did come, did attend. I'm sure you were all blessed. The weekend itself, Friday and Saturday, was a true blessing, I think, to everyone.
Yes.
Everyone was touched in one way or another. And it was everything from the music to the skit to the teaching and the commissioning afterwards. It was great. We could not have asked for anything more. The Holy Spirit truly moved, and we thank you all.
Hi. Thank you, everyone who attended, and I want to thank God for all of us that were involved in making it happen. The skit that we performed, I just want to let you guys know that it was amazing. We did it for the glory and honor to God. And it's not about us. You know, yes, we've been through bad situations. It was not easy doing that skit. I want to tell you guys, you know, it was very hard, but we did it for the glory and honor to God. And I know that we touched many lives, many women. Pretty much everybody that was here, you know, everybody got touched. They loved it. It was a great message. The enemy got defeated. Woo! And also, I just want to say that Julissa was wonderful for the 2 days that she was here. Message was powerful. Also, the words that stuck in my mind were grounded, rooted, and grown in love. Because that's what we are. And we need to keep that in mind. And Julissa said, repeat it at least 5 times. 5 times so it can register. So glory be to God. Thank you, Lord. We had an amazing time and many more to come.
Well, because you guys did so wonderful. And because we appreciate you guys so much. So we just want to give you a little thank you.
Believe it or not, we had some men involved. So to all the men who gave up their breakfast yesterday, thank you. And because I know you're missing out on your bacon.
I was going to say, and their bacon.
Yeah, and their bacon. Yes. Their bacon. Yes. The other thing is we had a few gentlemen that helped us behind the scenes.
Yes.
One was Terry. Thank you. The other was Scotty.
Scotty.
And then the other was my son, Abe. Yes. So they helped us through a lot of things that we weren't aware of. So thank you to them also. And then all these ladies on the stage for doing the work that they did during the conference.
So help us.
Yes,
Rebecca.
Yes, yes. So yeah. Rebecca McCann, they didn't talk, but, you know.
Wendy did
a poem that her mother wrote about my church. So I'm hoping one day she'll come up and she'll share that with us because it's about us, you know, as a congregation. So thank you to everybody.
Yeah. Amen.
You know, just watching these ladies, and from what I understand, what a blessed weekend they had. You know, over 70 people to be here one day and half the amount the following day. That's pretty good, especially around graduation time, right? There was a lot of goings on this last weekend, and you know, God had a different plan for the ladies that came. So one of the things I want to mention is that sometimes because of all the things you read in the news or hear in the news, we seem to focus a lot of sometimes on the things that aren't going right. But if we just take time and push all that away and start focusing on those things that are going right, God is doing some wonderful things on this earth. God is not only in this church body and with these ladies, but there's some wonderful things going on. And I wanted to just bring this one subject up. And I think you're all aware that this 4th of July, we're supposed to be celebrating 250 years of us being a nation, right?
Amen.
That's a big deal. And there's, from what I understand, there's all kinds of stuff that's being planned for the entire part of this 2026. But one of the things that is happening today, and maybe some of you are already aware of it, is that there's a celebration going on the Capitol Mall area. And from what I understand, our president is going to step up and says that he's going to rededicate our nation as a Christian nation. That's a big deal. That's a very big deal. When a leader makes that declaration, it's not just something that passes. Other presidents have not done that, okay? And so I just want to kind of bring it up so that we can keep not only this day in prayer, but every day from here on, because there's going to be those that aren't happy with what's happening today. But today is a new day, and we need to embrace it. We need to continue to pray. The word says that we are to pray for our leaders, whether you like them or not. It doesn't say that if you don't like something that, you know, throw them out. No, it says pray for your leaders. If something is wrong, what fixes things is prayer. Yes. You come before God and say, something's not right here, Lord. And you're the only one that can fix it. And he is. So, like I said, today I think is the beginning of something really wonderful in our nation, in our world. You know, we're always looked at as the leaders in this world. Well, that's one place to start. We show them who the true God is. There's only one true God in this world, and that is our Lord. And there is only one true King, and that is our King Jesus. That's it. So just keep an eye on the things that are going on in this world and just know that things aren't as bad as they seem sometimes. But if you focus on those things that aren't so good, that's what your day is going to look like. Focus on those things. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Set your mind on things above. And you'll see how your day, your personal day, will flourish. Please stand with me. Woo! Father God, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that this is your dwelling place, Lord. Within us lies a Holy Spirit that we can depend on, that teaches us, that counsels us, that leads us, that brings comfort in those times that aren't quite looking as well as they should. But we could depend on you, Lord. How others get through life, I don't know, Lord, but we have you. And so, Lord, we just, as today becomes that day to declare that Jesus is Lord over this nation, we declare that in this church. Yes. Jesus is Lord over this church body. Yes. Without you, Lord, we can do nothing. So, Lord, your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you love us. Thank you that you are always with us, Lord. We praise you. We love you. And we want to come now and just worship and praise you in music. The word that comes forth today. Today is a new day, Lord. Yeah. Amen.
Amen. We're going to talk about some victories right now. And when we talk about victories, we should be excited. We should be up. We should be happy. We should be joyful, right? See, God's already won every battle for you. See, he died on a cross for you so that your sins would be covered. That's not saying that every single time something happens in your life, God's having to die again. No, he paid for every single thing from here on, right? When he died. See, listen. The world functions in a way that thinks, I'm not perfect, so I'm gonna keep making all those mistakes all the time. Listen, nobody's saying that you're not gonna make mistakes, that things aren't gonna happen. But see, the kingdom says that we're meant to be perfected. That's exactly what it says, because God's perfect and we're made in his image. I'm hoping that you're understanding you're gonna follow this, okay? Because, listen, the Old Testament, you couldn't just come to God, right? But he paid that price for you so that you could be with him one-on-one every single day, every minute, every moment, because he's within. He gave us the Holy Spirit, right? He covered your sins and said you're clean and you're good, right? But see, the reason that the world functions in a different way is because they don't understand any of that. See, they don't get that there's something better. They don't get that there's more. They don't get that, that feeling like you're missing something. It's the Creator who created you, the Father that wants to love on you, right? See, they don't understand, but we do. See, when we get to know who God is, like truly build a relationship with God, he begins to speak to us on some things. This is where the scripture about being transformed by the renewing of your mind comes in play. Because, see, when you get to know who God is, if you're really getting to know who God is, like, I mean really getting to know him, you're gonna start to be transformed. Because as as you're spending time, as you're diving into the Word, as you're seeking Him and going after Him, He's going to keep giving. He's going to be like, yeah, let me give you some more. Let me show you something else. Let me unlock another mystery for you. Let me continue to build you, grow you, encourage you, and make you strong, right? See, God doesn't withhold from us. We choose to withhold from Him. See, He's already done it all. That's the amazing thing about, I'm going to tell you something. These songs didn't seem to fit together to me during the week. You can ask my team. I even sent them a message and said, I'll probably change them. But right here, right now, with the Holy Spirit moving, I can tell you exactly why He picked each song. As we were going through it, it was like words on a page jumping out. Because see, rattle, you're not dead, you're alive. God made you alive. So stop letting things get in the way that, stop letting sin and all of those things be something that's in your mind to keep doing. Come alive. Woo! See, I've witnessed it, right? I guarantee you, you go after God, there's never gonna be a moment that you don't witness His hand in your life. The things that He does, the way He turns things around, the way He's the only one that could have done it, it will happen if you let Him. See, surrounded. We're not meant to be like this world. We're meant to function in the kingdom all the time. The kingdom tells us we're victorious in Him. The kingdom tells us you're already taken care of. You're already surrounded. In the midst of battles, there's no battle that's not already won for you. So just look at me and let me get you through it, right? That's what He's telling you. See, one thing I really like that Julissa said this weekend, it had to do with being you, right? And not being ashamed of what anybody thinks when God's doing some things through you, right? That's, I mean, she said it in different words, but that's what I got from it. And listen, I'm gonna be honest with you. I feel that a lot. When I'm talking and I get these looks like, okay, cool, right? But see, when she talked, I was like, you know what, I don't care. If I go out there and dance up and down the thing, I'm gonna dance up and down the thing. If I wanna jump, I'm gonna jump. If I wanna get excited, I'm gonna get excited, because God is doing things. And I'm okay with being the only person in the room that's excited about it, the only one who's worked up, the only one who's running after what God's doing, because I don't want to be silent. I don't want to be without joy. I don't want to be just going through the motions. I want to let Him come into my world, move it all around, change it all up, and ignite it on fire. That's what we should all want, a hunger and a thirst for the things of God. See, He came to this world and said, here, let me show you who you are. When Jesus walked, He really was showing us who we're created to be. See, that's the amazing thing about God. Never at one moment did He say, cool, but I'm not gonna let you be as cool as me. No. He came, He taught those disciples, showed them, this is who you are. Now walk in it. It's the reason that when the crowd came and they were like, we asked the disciples to get the demon out of the boy, right? But they couldn't do it, right? What's God's response? It was their faith, right? Because they even asked Him. He takes care of it. After they ask Him privately, why couldn't we do it? faith, right? See, you, everything that's in that Bible isn't just words on a page. It's for you. It's like tools, like let's gird ourselves and let's go, right? That's really what it is. See, it's power, it's strength, it's love, it's all the things that he wants to pour into you. None of it is withheld from you. He says, here, walk in it. This is the kingdom of God. Let it show. Don't worry, right? See, we got to learn that faith. Whoa. There's a scripture. Hold on. I just got a scripture. Says, but someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God. You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works? And by works, faith was made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. See, I don't know who this is for, but I feel a little uncontained right now because it feels so good. And I know it's flowing towards somebody, but listen. When you say that you're believing God for some things, like whether that's breaking chains, taking away depression, healing your body, doing whatever is going on, your works matter. See, it's easy to walk around reciting, by his stripes I have been healed. It's easy to walk around reciting, no weapon formed against me shall prosper, right? But when you're feeling real down in the dumps, right? When you're feeling like, yeah, I don't feel like you healed it, right? Those are the moments to press in, because the works are what perfects it, right? Just like he said, Abraham going and offering Isaac, his faith worked together with his work together. It wasn't just speaking something, it was actually stepping into it. See, he could have said, yeah, God, I'll give you my son. But he actually walked all the way, took the journey, went to the altar, placed his son on it, and was ready to kill him because he believed the promises of God. See, you gotta live it too. Praise God. You gotta have a moment where you say, okay, I'm not just believing for healing. I'm not just believing for change, for my finances, for my whatever it is, right? I'm walking in it. Get out of the way, right? Don't talk to me, body. Don't talk to me, bank account. Because I know God said, and he will do. See, sometimes it's definitely spiritual warfare, right? This thing happening in the physical that makes us feel like, I don't know that that's actually happening. See, us standing up and saying, no, I don't care what I see. I'm believing what you said. I'm standing on what you said. I don't care how I feel. I'm believing what you said. I'm standing on what you said. I'm walking in it. I'm moving in it. I'm not taking it in as it's mine. I'm saying, nope, that's contrary to what God said. So now I'm not walking in that anymore. See, you already have victory. This can get in the way. Go after God all the time, every moment. Capture the thoughts that aren't supposed to be there and allow God to work and move in your life, because he's already given you every single thing you need. Woo! Hallelujah.
Good morning. I don't think I said it right before. I just wanted to talk to you about something. I know our president is rededicating the nation to God, but we have to, as individuals, rededicate our hearts to him at times. And today would be a good day to do that if you don't do that every day. But I just wanted to read this. I think the Lord wanted me to read this about our relationship with God again. Jesus is saying, don't neglect the oil, my relationship with you. Don't drift away. My oil protects and covers. It anoints and refreshes. Don't neglect me, your first love. Without me as your center, you can never enter my kingdom. You'll be locked outside the door. I'm the door. Center your lives around me. Then you'll see my oil can heal and will give you zeal. You will be grounded in care on a firm foundation. Don't neglect my oil. My oil brings light and it burns very bright. Don't neglect your first love. I am your first love. I am the oil. I am the light. Without me, you're in darkness. Don't neglect your oil, your relationship with me.
It's just like you said, don't neglect the oil. Don't neglect the idea of your eyes being open and the scales off your eyes so you can see the truth, and the truth will set you free. And the whole idea of the whole matter is, what Rebecca was saying, that is awesome. And the whole thing is that God says, I am the light. I am the truth, and you cannot do anything without me. Do you believe that? That you can't do anything without him? Do you believe it? I'm asking a question. Yeah, yeah. And because of that, he says, be still and know that I am God. We know his power. We know who he is. We know, but he wants to show us even more. He wants us to open up our eyes and see the glory of God. Expect it. Just don't look at it. Just don't hope for it. Know that it will happen, because he said in his word, don't worry about anything because I have everything in under control. But all you have to do is step back, sit down, and be still, and know that he is God. Because he loves you so much. He died. He loves you so much that he wants to take care of you. And the thing, I remember a story about a prophet, and there was a king wanting to go to the prophet and tell him, curse Israelites. And says, God is not a God that could lie. God is not a God that would change his mind. If he promises, he will keep it. So if he's promised you something in the word that highlights it, hold on to it, because God cannot change his mind. That will come to pass. And it might be tomorrow. It might be 10 years from now. But it will come to pass, because God is a God of light. He's a God of truth. Yes,
The Word of God says that God prepares a table in the presence of our enemies. How do you fight your battles? You sit down at the table and you worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. And you hold on to what God tells you in that time. Because every time you're in a battle, God has a word for you. Can you say amen to that? Can you say amen to the fact that he knows he probably set you up in that battle so that you might learn something? Can you say amen? So you sit down at the table and you worship him and you open your word, the word of God, and you go into the word of God and you say, God, I'm going through something, Lord, but can you help me, God? Can you show me, Lord? Will you show me? And he said, oh, yeah. I'm going to show you something, son, daughter. I'm going to show you something. I am going to show you that I am very strong on your behalf. Can you say amen to that? He's strong. He is strong. And he wants us strong. Can you say amen to that? So therefore, because he wants you strong, he places his spirit within you. Hallelujah. So in those times that you are going through things, let his spirit have it. Can you say amen to that? Because it is the way that he has prescribed for the body of Christ. You don't fight the battle, he does. Hallelujah. You just sit down. Stella said it earlier. Sit still. Be still. And let him have whatever it is that's troubling you. Can you say amen to that? God is good. God is good. Amen. Hallelujah. Can you sense the presence of God? I love having big events in this church. Because every time, right afterwards, man, it's like the Holy Spirit just hanging out in here. Can you say amen to that? You come in with them. But I'll tell you what, it's nice to have God in the house. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I got to tell you this. When we first got this building, we were having church in the Sunday school room over here. Pretty small area, but it loaded up fast. Within 3 weeks, we couldn't put everybody inside that room. So we came out here. We pulled out. There was bowling ball. What do they call it, returns? Bowling ball returns sitting right here. One there, all these little spots you see. We tore out some of those and we started having service this way. But I believe it was the second or third service that we had. We were worshiping God. And all of a sudden, it's like there was a wind or something inside the building in the roof. All sorts of clattering going on, bunch of rumbling going on. And the girls that were doing the Sunday school, they said that the door in the Sunday school blew outward. And paper, our bulletins flew out into the parking lot. Whatever was in the building didn't like what was going on. But it left, and it's been gone for good. Can you say amen to that? Hallelujah. I tell you what. When God is in the house, he's in the house. Can you say amen? Can you say amen? Hey, invite him in your house. Can you say amen to that? Let him. I remember somebody come over to my house. He goes, wow, it feels good here. I said, what do you mean it feels good? It's hot. It was a hot day. It's hot. What do you mean? It feels good here. He says, I sense the presence of God. Oh, man, come on. Yeah, well, we invited him into our house a long time ago. Can you say amen to that? As for me and my house, I will what? I will serve the Lord. Hallelujah. All the time, every time. You were talking about the National Day of Prayer, folks. I'm going to tell you, as your pastor, I'm going to say, a National Day of Prayer is every day of your life. Can you say amen to that? Don't just make it one special day, man. Make it every day of your life. Hallelujah. And if the folks that live in this country or whatever, wherever they live, they want to gather one certain day again, man, that's okay. They're gathering with you too. Can you say amen? Every day, folks, prayer needs to be a night and day thing. Constant prayer. Can you say amen to that? Can you do it all the time? Oh, you bet you can. You might not think you can, but you can. Hallelujah. Why? Because I tell you, prayer changes things. Can you say amen to that? Prayer changes things. Amen. Glory to God. How many of you are ready for the change that was going on? Can you say amen? Our The sermon this morning is called Point of Change. Point of Change. How many of you, when you heard the gospel, I mean, when you really heard, you were changed? How many of you got changed? Oh, man. I couldn't believe. When I got saved, I couldn't believe the things I was reading in the Bible. It's like God was taking me and grabbing me and holding me to that, to the Word of God. I was a changed man. The day I got saved, I told my wife, I said, you know what? I got saved today. I'm different. You know what she told me? Shut up. She was mad at me because I had gotten drunk that weekend. And she was upset with me. And I said, man, oh yeah, I forgot. She's mad at me. But within a couple of weeks, she looked at me and she says, you have changed. You've changed. There's something different about you. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Something's going on. Amen. The change. How many of you know we need change? Is that okay? And you know, I was reading the Word of God, and I was just, somehow a question dropped into my heart. I said, I wonder when the disciples really understood what they were going through. I wonder when that point came to them. Because I'll tell you what, God dropped a pretty good nuclear bomb on them when Jesus went to the cross. Can you say amen to that? Their whole day, man, their whole life, all of a sudden, where before it was an excitement and it was a joy serving the Lord. But the day he died, the day he went to the cross, the day they arrested him, a fog moved in on them. Can you say amen to that? They go, what is going on? What in the world? I thought, have you ever had days like that? Where you thought something was going one way and it went totally the other way. Anybody ever had that? Oh, hallelujah. Are those good days? Well, sometimes they are, amen? Sometimes they go better than you thought they would.
Right.
You walk into a situation, you think it's not going to be very good for you. All of a sudden, God has changed it for you. And now it's like, wow, God has done something here, amen? But then there's other times where you think everything's going nice and all of a sudden, you go, what's going on? And you walk in this fog, say, my gosh, what just happened? So I was wondering exactly, I was looking, I said, when was their point of change? So I want to go in the Word of God, if you will. Hallelujah. I promised some of the ladies, I told them, look, I know you guys have been here quite a bit, you know, spending day after day after day after day at the church can get a little bit tiresome. Can you say amen to that? Yeah. So you said, no, not really. Yeah. Okay, Mr. Christian. But yeah, it does. It can get a little tired. So I said, I'm going to try to keep it short. But then I said one of those emojis that goes like, we'll see. We'll see if we can keep it short. All right, amen? Let me say amen to that. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's Acts chapter 2, starting at verse 22. Glory to God. Point of change. Point of change. Acts 22, starting at verse 22. You men of Israel, I probably ought to take you in. This Acts chapter 2 is probably my most famous, my most favorite chapter ever. Whatever. I got the whole Bible is my favorite chapter. But I will tell you that, but Acts chapter 2 is the chapter where it talks about Pentecost. I got my weeks mixed up. I counted wrong last week. I said this week would be Pentecost Sunday, and I was getting all fired up, and then my daughter sends me a text and goes, no, Dad, you're a week early. I go, all right. But I said, I'm going to talk about the Holy Ghost anyway. Amen? I mean, I'll talk about Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and the Father. What else is there to talk about? Amen? Come on, man. But I said, well, okay, well, I'll talk a little about the Holy Spirit. But when I started, I got this question. I had this question pop up in my mind. I didn't realize God was leading me into something. Didn't realize that God wants to say something to you about change in your life. Is that okay? Is that okay? Is it okay that God changes some things in you? Takes a few things out and comes in and puts a few things in. Is that okay with you?
Yeah.
Is it okay that God does some rearranging of the furniture in your heart? Is that okay? Oh, come on, man. I mean, some real rearranging of furniture in your heart. Can you say amen to that? Those things that have been sitting there, dust getting under them in your heart. Yeah, I hope you guys are with me.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying to you? Say, what's he talking about furniture now? No, I'm talking about the things that you have in your heart. God wants to rearrange them. Sometimes, how many of you know it's time to get rid of some stuff in your own home? It's time to get rid of this thing, man. The bed is on the floor, man. The bugs are getting on it. Time to get out. You know, get a new bed. Yeah, right? Sometimes it's time to get things rearranged. Get some new things. Amen?
Amen.
How many want new things? How many like new things?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Seems to me that everybody likes new things, but when it comes to the Word of God, they like the old stuff. They tell me, I better shut up. Anyway, God sometimes wants to make some changes in your heart. And so it's important that we look at it. But I'm thinking, when did these guys even look at this? Peter stands up because they all got baptized in the Holy Ghost. They all spoke with tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. That's a very important part, as the Spirit gives utterance. That you speak in tongues and then speak. All of a sudden, where this guy was hiding with the apostle, now they're very bold. They're out in the middle of the city in Jerusalem. And Peter stands up and he tells them, this is talking about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He says, this was a prophet Joel. But I'm going to leave that out for next week. How many say, okay? You okay with that? We'll leave it out for next week. But I want you to see this thing. He says, starting at verse 22, you men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. This is an important thing because this was God's plan. His determinate counsel and his foreknowledge, like Peter's saying, he says, you have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. I love it. It's so different. It's a different way. It's quite a way of accusing, yet saying, no, this was God's plan. It's pretty cool. Whom God has raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held of it. For David speaks concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face. He is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice and my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh shall rest in hope. Because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither will thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made me to know the ways of life, and thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak to you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us today. Therefore, being a prophet, he's calling David a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ, Jesus, to sit on his throne. He, seeing before, spoke of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus has God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Peter's pretty bold, and he tells him, hey, man, this was prophesied by David. David spoke, God will not leave my soul in hell. But yet we have his sepulcher over here where he's buried. So guess what? His body has seen corruption. I don't believe that David went to hell. I believe he went to paradise. But yet he's making a point about something. And it's this thing that I believe that was the point of change. Do you know that the apostles had no idea what was going on? I'm going to let you look at that. I got two more scriptures to read here, because we're talking about the point of change. Verse 36 and 37 of Acts chapter 2 says this: "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made that same Jesus whom you have crucified both Lord and Christ." And I like the response. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Isn't that cool? He just got through talking to them. It was like a needle hitting them in the heart. They go, "What do we do? Man, we made a mistake." Can you say they made a mistake? So we made a mistake. But Peter, I love it, because he said, "No, man, it was the determinate counsel of God to do this, because Jesus is going to die for our sins." But the most important about him dying for our sins, and to us, if you will, because we weren't there. How many know we weren't there? But we were there, because he knew us before the foundation of the world. We were there. In his mind, we were there. One of the biggest parts, one of the best part, or no, it's all good. It's all beautiful. But the one part that is crazy, it's that God raised him from the dead. What does that mean? See, when I was growing up, I was an altar boy. I went to catechism and everything, but I was never taught about this personal relationship with a real God. I thought I knew God. I thought I was understanding everything being said. But one thing I didn't know was that he was real and that he would speak to me personally. How many of you know that God speaks to you personally? You raise your hand. You know, I heard a pastor say one day that he goes, "I've never heard God talk to me." Like, what? So what are you doing, bro? Man, stop saying that. People have a hard enough time hearing about God, and now you're saying that you don't hear it? Come on. Yeah, how many of you know the Bible says that my sheep hear my voice? Is what Jesus said. Do you hear him? Well, I remember when I didn't know him, I was standing in front of an evangelist, and he asked me what I wanted from God. And what I said was, "If God is real, I want to know it." I was supposed to ask about him healing my eye, which, by the way, still needs to be corrected, if you will. I believe it's healed. I just haven't seen the manifestation of it yet. But I was going to ask for that. But what came out of my mouth, "If God's real, hey, I want to know. I want to know if he's real." Duh. He put my glasses in my pocket for me, picked up his hand like that, and I went over like a domino. How's that? Boom, fell over. Laid on the floor for a while, got up mad. I got up mad because I was the only one up there. The preacher had already started preaching, and I'm laying on the floor. When I wake up, I'm looking at the top of the tent, and I can hear him talking, and he comes over, and he looks at me and goes, "Oh, you're back." I got mad because I didn't want to be the spectacle, which I was. I got up, walked over, and sat down. And my friend that was with me told me, he says, "You were up there for 20 minutes. You laid up there for 20 minutes. It seemed like just a couple of seconds." Went to another church service with my friend, invited me to, and as I was sitting, I was halfway back in the church. It was a long kind of shotgun church on near 6th and Veterans. And in this church, it had just an aisle on each side of the walls, one big aisle in the middle, and pews. I'm sitting about halfway back on the left side, halfway in the pew. Rosie and I are sitting, my friend and his wife. And this guy's speaking, and all of a sudden, he says, "You, come on up here." When he said that, you know, people going looking around like, you know, but not me. I stood up and I scooted over. And I went up to, I started heading toward the front. And he kind of met me at the front of that aisle. I wasn't even 20 feet near him, picked up his hand, and I dropped like a domino again. Laid on the floor for quite a while, and then when I opened up my eyes, there's a guy looking over the pew at me. He says, "Hey, you all right?" Yeah, shut up. It wasn't too long after that that the Lord spoke to me in my house. He made himself clear to me. And what I didn't know was that God was real, really real. Do you know what I mean? Not just something I know about, but now all of a sudden it's something that's very personal to me. He's very real. You don't want to know what he said to me in my house? He said, "Henry, I'm alive." I said, "Man, I've heard that." How many of you heard that all your life in church, right? Jesus died and rose again. Jesus died and rose again. Jesus died and rose again. What does that mean? It means he's alive. Amen? Amen. Come on, man. I go, "Man, it's pretty thick, but I finally got it. I finally got it." But I went, and like I said, I'm just wondering how these apostles, when did they get it? Do you know it wasn't when they got baptized in the Holy Ghost? Do you know that? That came after. There had to be, you know, remember when Jesus was talking to Nicodemus? Jesus told him something very clearly. He goes, "You must be born again." And Nicodemus, "What? Born again? And do I get back with my mom and climb up into her stomach and come back out and born again? What are you talking about?" He said, "That he that is born of the flesh and born of the Spirit." We have to be born of the Spirit. How many say amen? How many understand that? Is that in your understanding that you understand that you were born again? You died. And God had to resurrect you, and you became born again in that moment. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Glory to God. No more sin, no more shame. Is that okay?
Yes.
Is that a good deal?
Amen.
That's a perfect deal.
Yes.
How can the world pass it up? They do. Maybe it's because there's not enough messengers. Can you say amen to that? But when did they understand? And I want to take you to John chapter 20, verses 4 through 10. Ladies, we'll get you out quick. John 20, 4 through 10. So they both, this is when Mary and Magdalene had gone and told the disciples, "Hey, man, he's gone. Jesus, he's gone and he's alive." And they didn't believe her. I mean, do you guys remember that? They didn't believe her. So Peter and John have a little foot race. Isn't that right, John? And John is the speedy one. Yeah, like John likes to make sure you let him know that I won. Yeah. John chapter 20, verse 4 through 10 says this. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulcher. And he, stooping down, looking in, saw the linen clothes lying. Yet he went not in because he was scared. He was afraid. Hey, buddy. I'm sorry. Yeah, he didn't go in. Then comes Simon Peter following him and went into the sepulcher and sees the linen clothes lie and the napkin that was about his head. Not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple, which came first to the sepulcher, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went again to their own home. Isn't that something that the Bible says that they did not know the scripture that he must rise again from the dead? They didn't know it. Jesus had told them. Do you remember that? Jesus had told them that he was going to die, that he was going to be delivered into the hands of the Gentiles or the Roman people, and they were going to crucify him and put him to death. And Peter responded in his manhood way, "Not on my watch. This ain't going to happen, buddy. No way." Man, and Jesus had to rebuke him. Amen?
Yes.
Get thee behind me, Satan. For you savorest not the things that be of God. So Jesus had told them, they just didn't listen. Can you say amen to that? Maybe they listened, but they didn't get it. Is that okay? How many know that we listen to a lot of stuff, but a lot of times we just don't get it? Amen? Yeah. You know, I'm one of those guys. I'm one of those preachers. Listen, you got to know this about me, because I keep what God gives me to give very closely to me. Can you say amen to that? I don't just blurt out everything that he gives me, because if I did, man, you might think I'm weird now. But if I blurt out everything that God gives me to speak to you guys on, the way he gives it to me, when he hasn't told me to do it yet, you might say, oh man, this guy's weird. But I will tell you something. Let me just say something. It is what God has done in my life. It's not I that live, it's Christ that lives in me. And when I listen, one of the things I realize is that God needs voices. Is that right? He needs somebody to speak what he's saying. Is that okay? God help me if I quit speaking what he's saying. If I desire to just make you guys like me, or God help me if that ever happens. I'm not up here for applause. I'm not up here for accolades. That's not why I'm here. I am here to give you the word of God that God gives me to give you. Even though you might not like it, it's okay. But you ought to check it out at least, because God could be giving you something very good. Can you say amen to that? Hallelujah. Huh. They didn't understand. They didn't get it. Luke chapter 24, verses 1. Starting at verse 1, says this: Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came to the sepulcher, bringing the spices which they had prepared. These are the women. And certain others with them, and they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher. Oh, the stone. They're probably wondering how they're going to get it off of there. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass that as they were much perplexed about thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek you the living among the dead? He is not here, but he's risen. Remember of how he spoke unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words and returned from the sepulcher and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. And it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of Jesus, of James, and the other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to be, and their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter and ran to the sepulcher, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves and departed. And then, see this, wondering in himself at that which had come to pass. Do you see? Can I just tell you, these folks, even though they walked with Jesus, they were still unbelievers. They weren't born again. I'm still looking for the point. When was the point of change for these guys? Hallelujah. I love the point of change. How many of you love the point of change? I love change. I love it. Luke chapter 24, verses 36. Starting at verse 36. And as they thus spoke, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them. This could be a scary thing. Can you say amen? Check it out. And said to them, Peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted. Isn't that crazy? He scared them. And supposed that they'd seen a spirit. And he said to them, Why are you troubled? Why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me, see me, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones as you see me have. Isn't that cool? And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said to them, "Have ye any meat?" And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and a honeycomb. And he took it and did eat before them. And he said unto them, "These are the words which I spoke to you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me." Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And he said to them, "Thus it is written, and it behooved Christ," listen to this, "to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things." Folks, this is the point of change. It took the resurrection and him going right into the room with them where they go, "Oh man, we didn't know." That's the point of change. That's when their hearts were touched and said, "Man, he's alive." Is that right? Amen. He goes, "Man, he's alive." He goes, "Man, I'm alive, man. Touch me. Touch me and feel me. See, I've got flesh and bone just like you. Touch, feel it." Man, they said, "This is an amazing thing, God." Yes, it is. It's called the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's an amazing thing. Can you say amen to that? It was a point of change in their lives. And Jesus told them to go and wait for the promise of the Father in Jerusalem. And two of them went walking, took a walk. And I really believe Jesus came to get them back into Jerusalem, because they were about 8 miles out of Jerusalem, and it was getting close to the 50th day, to the Feast of Pentecost. Romans chapter 10, verses 6 through 10. Him rising from the dead is an important part of what you tell people. Jesus rose from the dead. They might not believe you. "I don't believe in Jesus." Yeah, well, let me just say this to you. There's no other man in history that we can talk about that people say, "Hey, he rose from the dead." That God raised him from the dead. Some of the kids. There's all sorts of stories of people being raised from the dead, that Jesus raised from the dead, but not one of those folks, not one of them, paid for sin. Only Jesus. He paid for sin, took sin on him, went and paid the price, went to hell. And from hell, God the Father raised him from the dead. And his body never saw corruption. He wasn't left in hell. This is why David said, he prophesied of Christ, and he said he would go to hell, but yet he would see no corruption. Isn't that cool? It's the point of change was the resurrection. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Here's Romans 10, 9 and 10, starting at verse 6. "But the righteousness which is of faith speaks on this wise, say not in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above." This is Paul the Apostle talking about faith. And he says, faith doesn't work like this by saying, "God, come down," because Christ is in you. Do you understand that? He says, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend to the deep, that is to bring Christ up again from the dead. He's already done that. Is that right? Amen. "But what saith it? The word is near you, even in your mouth and in your heart, that word of faith, which we preach, that if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has" what? raised him from the dead. See, this is a very, very, very important part of the gospel, that they believe that Jesus was raised from the dead. Thou shalt be saved, for with the heart man believes unto righteousness, but and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Amen? You've got to believe in your heart. You've got to believe in your heart. See, I could talk to you all day long, and you can hear what I'm saying to you. You can understand the words that I'm saying to you, but are you believing it in your heart? Are you taking these words into your heart? Are you taking the words that you read in the Word of God? Are you taking them into your heart? See, because God doesn't look at your works. He loves your works. He's like, yeah, you're great, man, great. But what does he look at? He looks at your heart. Well, this, I did this for you, God. Yeah, but your heart is different. Your heart is hiding. Your heart is saying things contrary to what I'm trying to get you to do. Can you say amen? See, God looks on your heart. He checks out your heart. And guess what? You can't stop it. God, don't look. Don't look at me right now. How many ever yelled at somebody? Yelled at my wife? Gave John a hard time about something? Have I ever given you a hard time about something? All the time. It just happens. You're easily excitable. No, I'm just kidding. No, I tell you, God, don't look at my heart right now. You don't need to look. I know it's wrong. I know it's off. But see, he sees our heart. He watches our heart. Hallelujah. He said of David, I am searching for a man that's after my heart. And he's looking for a heart that's looking for his heart. Is that okay? Glory to God. Let's talk about your heart. Does it believe God? Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6 says something. Talk about your heart, because I'm talking about change, folks. Trust in the Lord with what? How much of your heart? What part of it? From the top to the bottom? Yes, top to the bottom. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Hey, can I tell you that people are leaning more and more on their understanding today than they have ever because of the amount of information that's out there? Can I tell you, AI is a handy thing, but it is not designed for you to work off of, for you to base your life on. Can you say amen to that? Because God has things to say to you. AI doesn't know what to say to you. Can you say amen? I'm not afraid of AI. But I will tell you, folks, change is happening right now, and it's happening quickly. Can you say amen to that? AI is overwhelming areas that have never been overwhelmed. There are people writing books. Well, they're not writing it. AI is writing it, and they're putting their name on it. People making music. They're not making the music. The AI is making the music, and they're putting their names on it. It is overwhelming the earth. And I'll tell you what, the kingdom of God is better than AI. It's not artificial intelligence. It is authentic anointing. AI, authentic intelligence, not artificial. Can you say amen to that? Amen. See, this change is coming, and we need to be aware of these things. God is allowing our country a window. Can you say amen to that? Yes. It's a window, I believe, and I believe it's a glorious window. But I believe that God, because I believe that God is about to overwhelm the earth with the kingdom of God. I believe it's starting with the U.S. of A. Today.
Today.
This is In God We Trust Nation. Is that right? I wish they put up the In God We Trust with all our heart. Can you say amen? With all our, not just parts. Not just God is wanting to invade your business with the kingdom. He wants you to do things the way the kingdom does it. There are changes happening, and happening very fast. Folks, we are at the point of change. Do you understand that? Do you understand that things are happening quickly, and then we need to respond with a quickness? Can you say amen? We need to respond with a quickness that comes from the kingdom. See, God says that I have sent you the Holy Spirit, and he's going to quicken you. When you stand before somebody, he says, don't worry about what you're going to say, because in that moment, I'm going to give you the words. And you will confound those. Can you say amen? You're going to, those standing in AI, you're going to confound them because of the wisdom that flows through you. Because you trust in the Lord with all your heart. You don't lean on your own understanding. People send me, I get a lot of emails with, to go online and watch somebody. I'm going to tell you, I'm sorry, I do not do that. I don't go on and watch what everybody else is saying, because I have somebody that dwells in me that will tell me everything I need to know. He tells me to watch and pray. Pastor John said it this morning. Hey, when you see things happening, hey, pray about them. Pray. But he tells me to watch and pray. So I watch and I look at things that are happening. But I'm sorry, but if you send me stuff about, I just don't look at them. I go after what God kind of leads me to go after. And then I like old cars. What can I tell you? I look at old cars. I look at the parts and stuff like that, man. That's just, and I think God's okay with that, because there ain't nobody telling me how I need to live my life with an old car. That's right. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Do you understand what I'm saying? Things are changing quickly, folks, and we need to change. We need the change that God wants in our life for today, because we are a today kingdom. All of us are a today kingdom. Can you say amen to that?
Yes.
Amen. If you walk with the Lord, he has ordered your points of change in your life. Is that okay? He's going to take you to change. He's going to take you. He's going to cause things to happen that will help you to change your heart. Is that okay? God is trying to readjust us to bring our focus in clearly into this kingdom that he's got for us. That's why he said, this is why Jesus said, see, sometimes we don't take it really to heart, but he says, seek first the kingdom of God, and then everything else will be added to you. See, because when you seek it first, when you look for it with your heart, you're going to find it, and he's going to open things up to you, because that's who he is, and that's what he desires. Jesus prayed it, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Hallelujah. He's bringing this kingdom into the earth. Can you say amen to that? And he's going to take you to points of change. Be willing to change. Did I tell you that I don't drink coffee anymore? Did I tell you guys that? I don't drink coffee no more. Not my choice. I love coffee. I did. I don't no more. Now, when I look at it, smell it, try to take a taste of it, blah, hey, that's not good. I don't like it. I was in California, and I started feeling bad. And when I got home, I was still sick. And when I got over, when the Lord found, hey, all right, get up, you're done. I got up and I went to get a cup of coffee, and this is horrible. I said, give it a week. I'm still having trouble. See, the Bible says that all things work together for good to those that love God, to those that know. See, God made a change in my life that, I will tell you, I feel better now. I don't sleep. When I get up in the morning, I don't have this headache. I was telling, when I sit in the bleachers to watch my grandson play basketball or my granddaughter play volleyball or something, I'll be sitting in the bleachers, and before I would cramp up and I'd have to get up and I'd walk around. People look at that guy. What's wrong with him? I'm walking around. and it would bother me. And I didn't realize might have been the caffeine intake that I was having. But I'll tell you what, God has seemed like he's dealt with me about it before. I'd always slighten, I'd stop for a while, I'd just drink a little bit, but next thing I know, I'm guzzling it down again. But this time, God says, no, not anymore. See, God made a point. There was a point of change in my life, and I'm good for it now. I don't need the coffee. I got my big water bottle over here. Yeah. I this is what I drink. You know, it's hard drinking water for breakfast to me. I like my cup of coffee. I love my cup of coffee, and it's a change. See, God, there's a point of change that God's going to bring into your life to change things, because God wants me healthy and he wants you healthy. Is that all right? Hey, if he takes pancakes out of your life, it's for a reason. Can you say amen? Come on, man. Come on. He's making changes. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 20 through 21 says this. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that raised up Jesus, what he's saying, that raised up Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect. Is that okay? Is it okay with you that you could be made perfect? That's what he said. I'm going to bring some change in you. You're going to understand what perfection is. Perfection is not about you. It's all about Jesus that dwells in you. Sorry, man. Sorry. The perfection is not you. It's Jesus. And he wants you to know about it. He wants you to know how well he's done in you. Is that okay? He will make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. You see, if he brings you to a point of change, work with him. Can I say that to you? Go with it. Let him change what he's changing in your life. Is that okay? Come on. Hallelujah. Do you know, I used to be an angry guy. Did I tell you that? Yeah, I probably told all of you that most of the time. I used to throw things. I worked in a garage, and I would throw wrenches. I'd get frustrated, and for some reason, my body would lose control. You know what I mean? I'd say things, and I'd throw wrenches. One day, I had a brand new Snap-on ratchet, I guess. And I had it on the hose, and I swung it around like that, and I go, oh, I better not throw this around the shop. And I let go of it, but it hit the floor. Cracked that thing like an egg. Ah. $286 worth, and it was brand new. My boss told me, you won't be doing that too much. You need to quit throwing things around the shop. You know, how many believe in flying saucers? Anybody? Yeah, I believe in flying saucers. When I used to get Rosie mad, she'd throw saucers at me. I just thought I'd throw that in. But listen, God is making changes in us. We need to be people that are willing to be changed for his kingdom and for his glory. Don't settle in on an old hurt. Don't settle in on holding forgiveness away from somebody. Don't settle in on those things. Get rid of it now. Today's the day. Well, let me work on it a little bit before I forgive him. No, shut up. Today. Do it today. Do it right now. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, so do it today. Be responsive to what God is saying to you. Can you say amen? And this is our power verse for today. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 through 12. Glory to God. If you would you stand? So we read this last verse. The Word of God says, but as it is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. But see here, sometimes we think that God is preparing all these great things for us. Is that right? And he is. When I was working at the mine, and God told me, go down there and pray around that Green Valley Lanes building. I came down here, and he spoke to me. He said, this is the house that I promised you. I said, what? I didn't realize that he had prepared a way for us to get this building. Can I tell all of you, we paid cash. Is that right, John? We paid cash for this building. Over $1 million. I've never had $1 million in my life. Except for that little short exchange. Is that right? God brought us over $1 million to buy this building. That's an incredible thing. I was raised, everything I bought was on time. I would pay payments for my cars, for the house, for the land, for everything we did, everything we got. Never was I... You know, I'm going to tell you, can I tell you the truth? It scared me.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that weird? I got a little bit, I go, what is this? What is this? That God would care about Sahuarita Green Valley to give the people of that want to know about him a place to stay, a place to worship and a place to grow. I said, Lord, I don't know. You got the wrong guy, God. That's not me. But I found out, yeah, God says, I know it's not. You don't think so, but it is you. And I will put people around you. Pastor John, Pastor Stella. Steve Allen, Terry, Randy, Linda Enoch. God placed people around us to do a work in this city. If I didn't call out your name, forgive me. But I will tell you that God does give great things. He has great things to give us. But where it says in the ear, it says, eyes not seen, ears not heard, neither entered the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for them that love him. Can I tell you, he's prepared for you points of change. Change with him. Let him change you. Allow him. I mean, think about when things are happening to you, when somebody's screaming at you, think about the word of God. Think about how God is saying, he's watching you, and he's saying, he says, peace, be still. Because we are called to touch our cities, our state, our nation with the gospel of the kingdom of God. Can you say amen to that? So I'm going to pray for you, Father. I thank you this morning. I thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing in our lives, Father. Father, I pray even right now that your people, all of us, myself included, Father, that when you bring a point of change into our lives, that you would help us to understand this is a change coming. There is something that is going to profit me because of what's happening right now, whether it be good or bad, that it's going to profit me because it is a change you're bringing into my life. I thank you for it, Father. Father, I thank you for it. I thank you for your people, Lord. Father, cause them, quicken them, Father God, to understand, Lord, that you and you alone hold their lives. And that you are able to do far abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to your riches and glory, God, in Jesus' name. Father, teach them, show them, Father, as they open the Word of God in their home, Lord, show them things they've never seen. Speak into their hearts as they're walking through the city. Father, thank you, Lord, for touching your people this morning, today, today. In Jesus' name I pray. If you agree, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hey, hug a neck. Hug a neck? Yeah.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.